This is the first in a series on understanding algae that commonly plague our aquariums. We kick off the series with the infamous black brush algae, aka BBA. This is Skate Fu Podcast number 47. Let's go.
Welcome to the Skate Fu Podcast, where it's all about learning to make aquariums beautiful. And now, here are your hosts, Skate Fu founder and chief bottle washer, Art Pinom, your DIY homescaper, JJ, and our full-time aquascaper and smarty pants from Germany, Yuri's Mitt JS.
Hi. I'm not Yuri's and I'm not JJ. My name is Art Pinom. I am solo for this podcast. Thank you for listening. This is the Skate Fu Podcast, the only podcast on the internet dedicated to making your aquariums beautiful. So I'm glad you're with us. Today is the first in a series of podcasts where we will be focusing on algae. You've requested it. We've get a ton of questions on it. So here you go. We've decided to tackle one type of algae at a time, and we're going to focus on the most common ones that we'll see in the aquarium. I know many of you, I think all of us, have struggled with algae, but it's something that you will be able to control, eradicate, manage, eliminate. You add the word. And we're going to show you how. But first, let's get into the news. Okay. We have a lot of news, I think, for this week. The aquatic experience is happening next week already, November 6th through the 8th, 2015, in Chicago. If you are anywhere near there, and even if you're not and you have some disposable cash that you have to get out there, I would highly recommend it. It's going to be a heck of a show. You're going to see some professional aquascaping taking place in the aquascaping contest, which don't know if they're still open, but I know that the cash prizes are pretty good. I think $1,900 for the small tank and $2,000 for the large tank competitions. That should be a lot of fun. And our very own JJ is part of a team that's going to be up there, and we'll be rooting for him. Hopefully, you'll be taking a lot of pictures and recording people so that we can listen to it and get a feel for those of us that can't go. Also, number two, Aquainova. We've discussed that in previous podcasts. It's the joint venture by Anubias and Aquaflora, two large aquarium plant nurseries, international, have joined forces to create Aquainova to enter the U.S. market and bring to the U.S. market previously unseen, high-quality tissue culture plants. So these are very clean, disease-free, algae-free plants coming to you. And we talked about it. If you want to learn more about it, check out our previous podcast, and that is Skate Fu Podcast number 45. So just type in skatefu.com/45, and you will be taken to the show notes where you can hear the episode. Of course, if you have the Skate Fu app, you can just scroll to that episode, number 45, and listen to it there. If you don't have it, I would encourage you to please download it. You're helping us out, and you'll get a whole bunch of great karma for doing it. So Aquainova is coming into the United States with the help or through JBJ Aquatics, which is a well-known distributor of aquarium products here in the United States, most notably for their lighting and their chillers. The Artica line, which I've had in the past. Now, JBJ is not only bringing the plants, they're also bringing some serious planted aquarium equipment manufactured by the company Dennerlei of Germany. So the booth in the aquatic experience will be Aquainova, Dennerlei, JBJ. Should be a lot of fun. There'll be plants there available for you. I'm not sure whether there'll be equipment there for you. I think you can get a lot of details out of the team that will be going. I know Esther Mouse will be there, as well as Domenico. Oliver Knott, I believe, is going, And Chris, and you're going to kill me, Chris, and you look like you actually can kill me. But I've always pronounced your last name Lukap, but I'm sure I'm wrong since I've never actually heard it, just read it many, many times. For those of you that don't know, Oliver and Chris are very, very popular slash professionals in the aquarium hobby. And you will have and learn a ton by simply going and spending a few minutes with them. It should be fun. I wish I was going. But again, I'm going to live vicariously through JJ, who will be there. Also, I wanted to bring to everyone's attention as another point, and just to be fair, we're fair here and we're open architecture in the Skate Fu podcast. I was contacted by Tropica, the COO, CEO of Tropica. For those of you that don't know, Tropica is a very well-known aquarium plant nursery from Denmark, and they've been growing aquarium plants, tremendous aquarium plants in the frigid north there for many, many years, and they have also decided to come into the United States, and I'm pulling up the email that I received so that I can read it and let everybody know. So the email is from Lars Green, who is the chief executive officer for Tropica nowadays, and it's Tropica Aquarium Plants. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. But he writes a very nice email saying, "Dear Art, I came across your blog looking at Aquanova plans for entering the U.S. We have great knowledge about the setup of Aquanova and wish them the best of luck in North America." That's very nice of them. These are competitors, folks. "However, I just wanted to let you know that Tropica is also attending the Chicago Aquatic Experience with a stand to introduce their complete 1-2-Grow range of products." And he sends along some links, which I will, of course, include in our show notes as well. If you're on the app, just look at the notes. Otherwise, you'll find them at skatefu.com/47, the episode number that we are dealing with here. Please also note, he continues saying that we have many other things to offer the hobby on our homepage and on our YouTube channel. So again, links to that will be there. Okay. The information is that Tropica's production of TC products, tissue culture products, are based on their own laboratory facilities in Denmark, Singapore, and China. They are known for the quality that they can provide and the shelf life of these products to keep in stores. Now, that's critical, folks. What happens is that we have aquarium plant growers here in the United States, and they ship plants to retailers where you and I go and see them, our pet stores, bare roots, or they're in pots with rock wool, et cetera, that do not do very well in the maintenance aquariums of the retail shop. So by the time we go and take a look at them, they look like hell. Raggedy, dying. These tissue culture products are able to be kept in pristine conditions for a very long time, which makes it better for a retailer who's trying to sell plants, and obviously for the growers who will sell their products. So this is also very important. It says, also, Tropica, in June of this year, 2015, took over a former customer of Tropica in Vancouver called Wet Pets and transformed the company into Tropica North America, with the aim of growing the possibilities for their production in the Americas. The former owner of Wet Pets, his name is Kyle, was appointed CEO of the company. I'm going to be trying to reach out to Kyle and bring him onto the show and ask some questions, get their thoughts on what they're looking to do. So he concludes by saying, we so much look forward to our first official appearance in the United States and to offer trade and public to the trade and public our products. Besides our plant program, we also offer a narrow but good program of fertilizers and soil called Plant Care, which we can offer to U.S. customers via their website. And I'll, again, include the link. Just wanted to let you know, since you are very much into the hobby, and for many years, that's true. It's a very nice way of saying I'm old. But no, thank you. Thank you for that. And he mentions, I like your tutorials of how to, which is a great help to hobbyists. Thank you so much. That's the whole point of those tutorials. I'll put links in the show notes if you haven't seen them. They're on Scapefoo, and it's the Aquarium Plants, Introduction to Aquarium Plants tutorial series that I have there and continue to add to. So that's going to be a good number of posts. So there you have it. That's news number three. News number four is Lupy LED, LUPYLED. That's a weird name if on the English language, Lupy, right? Are you Lupy? But I'm wondering whether it has a different meaning in German. I believe they're a German outfit. Anyway, it's a new, very innovative LED was announced. There's still no LEDs actually in the wild. They will be offered for sale this winter 2015. But it's a great light from what was announced in the via YouTube, actually, or Facebook, I'm sorry, via Facebook, and I'm sure YouTube as well, by Oliver Knott recently this month, where they showed not only the ability that this light has to really cover your entire aquarium, but also to change the amount of light coming from different areas of the light so that you can create spotlight-like effects for plants. And it's combined with an app, a smartphone app, which looks tremendous. And the amount of customizing that is done is really out of this world. So I'm looking forward to getting a hold of one of these lights and putting it through the test and bringing you the results. The light is called The One, and that's lower cap T-H-E, and then it's just one word, capital O-N-E. I'll put a link in the show notes to Lupy LED's website at lupyled.com. Go check it out, and if you get your hands on one of these lights before I do, I want to hear about it. Send pictures and give me your thoughts. The last bit of news is a shout-out. I want to shout-out to our good friends at Greenleaf Aquariums. If you're in the States, you probably know about Greenleaf Aquariums. They're out of Gainesville, Florida, and mostly an online retailer of aquarium plant products, very high-quality CO2 regulators. That's what they're known for. I have one, and it's working great, except that the bubble counter came unwelded, if that's the a word. The glass portion, the plastic portion of it separated, unglued itself from the body of the bubble counter, which is an integrated bubble counter to the regulator. And so I emailed them. I bought it back in 2014, so last year, and said, hey guys, this is what's happened. It's become unwelded. And every time I put water in there, as soon as I turn the CO2 on, it leaks all over the place because it's not sealed. It's no longer glued. Is there a warranty on this or you know, what should I do because it's not working? They immediately wrote back within 24 hours, very helpful technicians via email and chat. And they said, absolutely, we'll get one out to you. That day they had one out to me. A day later, yesterday, I received it in the mail. I'm in Florida as well, so it's a quick turnaround. Now I have a fully functioning regulator again, and just a little bit of algae for the 2 or 3 days, maybe more, that I was without CO2. But bottom line is the customer service was outstanding. I can't be happier with it. They really handled it fantastic. So kudos to Greenleaf Aquariums. Thank you for providing great products and great service. I need to put my legal hat on and tell you that I'm not a sponsor. They're not a sponsor of the Scape Foo podcast. I'm not in any way affiliated with them. I'm just giving them a two thumbs up for the service that I received. If you haven't checked them out, go ahead. It's Greenleaf Aquariums. I would highly encourage you to purchase from them if you have a need. Okay, so why don't we wrap the news up and get into the body? Welcome to the body of the podcast. Let's talk black brush algae, aka BBA. So, like any algae or any nemesis or any enemy, you need to understand them, number one, to be able to beat them. And at the end of the day, I don't think it's healthy to consider algae your enemy. It's something you manage. It's a natural part of the world, the ecosystem you have in your house there, the aquarium. But we obviously want to minimize it and control it so that we can enjoy the plants and not the algae. But I know many of you will not listen to me and will still hate it, and it is ruining your life and your aquarium and your investment, and you want it dead. So we will tell you how to eliminate it. But I think the more important thing is how to prevent it from happening in the first place, right? Preventative medicine, just like everything. So that's what our goal is today. So let's dive in and try and understand a little bit about who we're dealing with here. Black brush algae, you'll see it called BBA all over the internet, is one of the toughest algaes to get rid of in the aquarium. It's tenacious and can overtake and suffocate your plants in a matter of weeks if you don't control it. So once you have an outbreak, it's really tough. It belongs to the phylum Rhodophyta, which is Greek meaning red, Rhodophyta plant, so red plant. It includes some 5,000 to 6,000 species of mostly multicellular marine algae, even some seaweeds. Coralline algae, if you've ever been on the dark side, I mean the salt water side, you know what that is. There are 164 freshwater species, mostly in the genus, and here I'm going to read because I don't want to mispronounce, but I probably am going to mispronounce. Lemanea and Audonilea, Nella, whatever. I'll put links in it. Look at the show notes. So 164 different species of freshwater black brush algae, BBA. That's a lot of species. Which one do you have in your aquarium? How can you tell? Is there a test? No. So your BBA may be one of many, many, many different species. Okay? What are we talking about? What does it look like? How do you know you have it? Well, black brush algae is a stiff, bristle-like, branched or unbranched, similar to coarse horsehair. You can recognize it by the way it creates. It likes to create little tufts on hardscape. And I'll put pictures in the show notes so you can see. But it's very obvious once you learn to recognize it. It's also known as black beard algae, and that's how I learned it many years ago, because it resembles very coarse hair, and you'll see it as it lines the leaves, the outlines, the leaf edges. It does look like a beard that the leaf has. So it's blue-green to olive to dark gray in color when it's young. I know it's in the red algae category, but it's still that color most of the time when we will see it. It's typically found in fast-moving streams in Europe and North America, and its ability to anchor itself tightly to its base is obviously an advantage when you have fast-moving water to deal with. Unfortunately, that very characteristic makes it very difficult for us in the aquarium hobby to remove it. If you've ever dealt with that, trying to get that off of the plant is almost impossible without hurting the plant. And also when it gets into like filter pipes or side of your aquarium, very difficult to get off. It's a struggle. Some use razor blades and it's a nightmare. So much better for it to die off and just fall off naturally. Okay. So how does this black brush algae, BBA, get into your aquarium in the first place? And here I'm involved with a thread on the UCAPS or UK apps, depending on how you say it, forum. Very, very interesting forum, very interesting theory that they're discussing. But, you know, one of the comments that's mentioned, and I'll talk a little bit more about the post now, but one of the comments is, hey, you know, we have all sorts of algae spores in our aquarium. So what do you mean? How does it get in? It's already in there. Well, that's not exactly true. Yes, there's algae spores floating around us in the air, in water, in tap water. Yes, all of that. But you do not have every species of algae in your aquarium, in your environment. Otherwise, we'd be dealing with countless 5,000 or 6,000 species of different algae popping up in our aquarium when conditions are right. So simply saying, who cares how it gets in, because we already have spores, is not true. You don't necessarily have black brush algae spores in your aquarium. So how can you get it in there? Well, you purchase a plant, acquire a plant from someone that has black brush algae in their aquarium, and the plant is infected with the spores or has the spores on it. It could also be fish or shrimp that have been chewing and eating the algae, or the algae spore simply went into their body because it was present in that environment, and you brought that fish or shrimp to your aquarium. And guess what? The spores came out of that fish or shrimp and got into your aquarium. So I think it is valid to try and keep BBA out of your aquarium. How do you do it? By maintenance. And I'll have a list in the end of this podcast as to preventative measures. But keeping it out is important. It goes in typically, obviously, if it's in your environment, it is going to go into your water. No way of stopping it. Algae spores floating around and dropping in there, and all of a sudden you got it. But if you don't have it, these other ways are ways to introduce it into your aquarium. Okay, so that's how it gets in there. Now, if you type black brush algae, BBA, in the internet, you're going to get a million comments and pages, etc. And many are telling you, well, that indicates, an outbreak indicates inconsistent CO2, not sufficient CO2, low CO2. It's all about CO2. Well, that's misleading, I think. It's not all about CO2. If you put your CO2 at the correct level, but you have other problems with your aquarium, high organics, too much light, too much fertilizer, too little fertilizer, then you're still going to have BBA. So saying that it's a CO2 issue is not correct, in my opinion. Instead, what you should say is you need to maintain proper aquarium maintenance and balance, the golden equilibrium that I've talked about before of light, CO2, and fertilizer. And if you do that, that should prevent and or fix your algae problem, your BBA problem. So yes, it may very well be that your CO2 is low, and that's why you have BBA, but you could have any other algae that chooses to pop up as well if you have low CO2. It's not specific to BBA. It is not the culprit as to why you have BBA. I hope I'm getting across the point here. Point being, it's not one smoking gun thing that triggers BBA. It is a whole combination of things that can trigger BBA. Basically meaning that something's not working properly in your aquarium. This thread that I mentioned in UCAPS is entitled, What Exactly Causes BBA? Part 2, Bacterial Imbalance. So it's, I think, a fascinating, interesting thread that you should go through. It's gotten into many pages, 12 or 13 already by the time this recording is going. And the original poster posits that the reason you have BBA is an excess or an availability of vitamin B12. And recent studies have indicated that vitamin B12 is a required nutrient or vitamin, however that's called, for some algae. So if it's not present, then that algae would not be able to grow. It's a limiting factor for growth in some algae. Before I tell you what the problem is, let me tell you and summarize my understanding of the theory or hypothesis here. High organics in the aquarium cause heterotrophic bacteria to grow exponentially and out of control. Now, that part is true. When you have organics, it is food for heterotrophic bacteria, and they will grow very quickly in the aquarium. They can multiply and double in 15 minutes, much faster than your nitrifying bacteria that we all have in our filters that are designed to take ammonium down to nitrate. So they outcompete the nitrifying bacteria, take up the available oxygen, bringing oxygen levels low, meaning your nitrifying bacteria are losing the war here and stop functioning. This creates excess ammonium because it's not getting degraded down to or oxidized down to nitrate. I wonder if oxidized is the right word. It's not getting brought down to nitrate because you have very little nitrifying bacteria. They're being beat up by the heterotrophic bacteria. Additionally, the heterotrophic bacteria are putting out, pooping? Question mark. Vitamin B12. And algae, certain species of algae, have this symbiotic relationship with bacteria that they take up the vitamin B12 for growth. So by having high organics in your aquarium, meaning you're not properly doing your maintenance, you've created a huge colony of heterotrophic bacteria that are killing your nitrifying bacteria, meaning you have a lot of ammonia, which is easy fuel for algae. And you're putting a lot of vitamin B12 into the water, which is also fuel and necessary for the growth of certain types of algae. And they posit that BBA is one of those. So that's the theory, the hypothesis that they're coming out with. I find it interesting. I find it, I'm really pleased that they're thinking, that people are thinking out of the box and trying to understand why things are happening. However, I do have some problems with this hypothesis. Number one, you don't know if the type of algae you have in your aquarium is one of the ones that requires B12. So I may have one type that requires it, and by controlling the amount of vitamin B12 in the water, I'm going to kill mine. Whereas you could have BBA that does not require it. And therefore, you can stop B12 all you want. It's not going to kill it. So it's very hard for us to decide and say, well, it's excess vitamin B12, of course, because there's no studies linking one of the particular species of BBA to a B12 requirement. Also, the increasing heterotrophic bacteria population would put out more CO2 into the water, which theoretically would be helping the plants to grow. Also, ammonium is the preferred source for plants, and that would be helping them to grow. So by increasing the heterotrophic population, yeah, I'm decreasing nitrifying, but who cares, because my plants are sucking up the ammonium and the bacteria, the heterotrophic bacteria, are putting out much more CO2 into the water column, which is helping my plants grow. So why is that a problem? Why is that causing algae to grow? Don't get it. I don't get it. And why wouldn't any other algae grow? Why is it just BBA? Why does this scenario only result in BBA growth? You know, I don't think there's an explanation for that. So I think trying to focus on a smoking gun, I think some people in the thread are hoping to say, oh, you have an excess of vitamin B12. That's why you have BBA. Take out the B12 and you're good. Or is it high organics? You have high organics, so therefore BBA will be present. Remove the organics and BBA will go. There isn't one smoking gun, folks. There really isn't. It is an algae. And like all other types of algae, if you give it the right conditions, which are a number of factors, it's going to grow. And it's going to outcompete your plants. So after 30 years in this hobby, my thinking is ensuring that your plants are growing in a healthy fashion by properly maintaining your aquarium and properly maintaining your golden equilibrium will result in little chance of BBA or any other algae growing, and is necessary for eliminating BBA. Okay? I hope you understood that. I hope I was clear. If I wasn't, send me an email, art@scapefoo.com. Leave me a comment in the show notes, scapefoo.com/47. Let's talk about how we are going to kill this enemy that we now have come to know. Let's go. Okay. How do we eliminate black brush algae, BBA? That's a question, right? How do we prevent it? Well, let's talk prevention first. As I mentioned, you don't necessarily have BBA spores in your aquarium or in your environment. You don't know that. None of us do. I guess we could run a test. We can put out some water, put some light on it, wait and see what grows, and then we can say, aha, I have BBA in my environment. That's all well and good. But by and large, we don't know. So don't introduce it, because that way you will know. Buy plants from reputable people that you trust, that you know, that they don't have BBA. Don't buy it from big box stores, because they always have BBA. If you can and have access to tissue cultured plants, those come algae free, disease free, so you're very sure and confident about those. So buying from the right source or acquiring from the right source is important. Not a guarantee, but it's important. If you want more protection, you can always give it a bath, a dip. It's very common in the past. And dipping your plant in a solution designed to kill any algae spores on it is another way of trying to minimize the chances of something getting into your aquarium, BBA getting into your aquarium. And a diluted bleach solution of one part bleach to 20 part water, and you dip your plant in that bath for a certain period of time, that should take care of pests and algae before the plant goes into your aquarium. Now, depending on how resilient, tough your plant is, that time frame would be anywhere from 10, 15 minutes through, 2 minutes. Very delicate plants, you don't want to leave in there too long. So my suggestion to you is take a little bit of the plant and give it a test. See how long it lasts before it really looks like it's suffering. And then proceed with that amount of time or less than that amount of time. But user beware, okay? Be careful doing this. Seek advice if you're going to do this. There's another way of doing a dip with potassium permanganate, but bleach is cheaper and more readily available. So that's what I normally preach if you're wanting to do that. Okay. So that's preventative measures. Obviously, quarantining your fish and your shrimp and letting them poop anything out that may be inside of them or on them over a period of a week or two in a quarantine tank. Oh, it's good practice. You never know. Is it necessary? No. Will it guarantee you? No. No, it won't. But it's good practice. You're minimizing here, right? It's called risk management. We're all doing that all the time. So it's something for you to decide. Do you want to do that? If you went and bought from one of the big box stores, probably a good thing to do the dip or do the quarantine. You bought from your buddy that you know doesn't have any of that, or you bought tissue culture plants, and you don't need to do any of that. It's up to you, okay? So how do we eliminate it? Well, there's numerous ways to do it. However, in my opinion, like I said, just like with any algae, an imbalance in the golden equilibrium is what causes an algae outbreak. If you want to know more about the golden equilibrium, go and look at my Introduction to Aquarium Plants tutorial where I talk about it. It's really the balance between light, CO2, and fertilizer. And that evolves over time. It's not set and forget. But it's beyond the scope of this podcast. So go ahead and I'll put links in the show notes if you to make it easy for you, but go and check it out and you'll see what I mean. So first and foremost, you need to analyze your aquarium and say to determine whether that balance is correct. It could be you have too low CO2 or you ran out of CO2 and now you're checking. Could be that you're putting too much fertilizer. Could be that your lights are too high. You need to get that triangle correct, first and foremost. Otherwise, anything else we do, it's only temporary. It's a Band-Aid. So, step number one, make sure the golden equilibrium... Golden equilibrium is being respected and that there's no problems with that. I don't care if you're doing estimated index fertilizing or PPM, perpetual preservation method, or your own version of either. Whatever you're doing, make sure you're doing it correctly and you're providing your plants with what they need. Okay? Maintenance crew is number two. Having a good maintenance crew is going to help. There are some species of fish that will eat black brush algae, such as the true Siamese algae eater. Please, please make sure it's the true one. There's a lot of copycats out there that are not as effective. But for a long time, the SAE, or Siamese algae eater, has been known to eat this algae when younger in particular. But be careful, because they'll also eat your moss. I've had them chew up my Anubias sometimes when the BBA runs out. Also, black mollies have been known to eat this type of algae. The American flagfish as well, although that is just anecdotal, and I'm not sure whether they do or not. But I have seen black mollies, and I have seen SAE in action, and they do a number on it. So keeping that maintenance crew will help. If you have the ability to target leaves that have become infected with it, then you have more options in terms of more weapons, really. Number three would be hydrogen peroxide. So go and get your store-bought 3% H2O2 hydrogen peroxide. And I take either, depending on the size of the target that I'm going after, either a turkey baster, or I take one of those baby syringes, those plastic baby syringes that you can get for medicine, and I'll put the H2O2, the hydrogen peroxide, in there. And either when I'm doing a water change, I drop the water a lot lower so that I can easily get to the spot, or I stick my hand all the way down there and put the H2O2 onto the BBA. Now, be careful with this. Shrimp don't like it. If you have a shrimp tank, be careful. They really don't like this, and it could really affect them, so go slow. I would tell you to start small, just a little area, see what works. And what you should see is that immediately some bubbling on the algae will begin. It will turn gray, light gray, white, and then eventually fall off and disintegrate. So that's hydrogen peroxide. In the past, I have also taken a brush, dipped it in hydrogen peroxide, dropped the water on a water change, and then just painted, for example, an Anubias leaf with it, and then brought it back. That's also worked pretty well. Number four, Seachem Excel. So Flourish Excel is glutaraldehyde. It has glutaraldehyde. It is a great disinfectant, and I have used it extensively to nuke this algae when it pops up. And the way you use it is very similar to the way you use the hydrogen peroxide one. So you can use a turkey baster, you can use one of those syringes. Go ahead, target, spot, treat, etc. Of course, you can also try and treat a whole aquarium if you have a full outbreak with hydrogen peroxide and Seachem Excel. However, go online and please look at the dosing requirements. I'm not going to list them here, but there you got to be a lot more careful, right? Because you don't want to nuke things that are positive in your aquarium. So, obviously, maintenance is key. Keeping your organics in your aquarium low is key. I do think, and giving a nod back to my UCAP friends and the bacterial imbalance theory, I do believe there's something to that. There is a lot of study going on it's trying to study the symbiosis that's happening between algae and bacteria. So I think there may be something there. I think keeping organics low and heterotrophic bacteria low, not necessarily because of the B12, but for other reasons may prove helpful. In any event, in my experience, and this is just observational, keeping organics low by having frequent water changes and obviously having other good husbandry practices will help BBA or any other algae be maintained and kept to a minimum. So there you have it. I've given you what it is, BBA. We've gotten to know it. We've told you then how to get rid of it. And I guess I should mention, just to be complete, I have seen on the internet the use of blackouts, you know, three-day blackout periods where the lights are turned off for 3 days. Don't do that. That's going to damage your plants more than the algae. I haven't seen that to be effective. Pulling it out by hand, sure, try it best you can and suck it up with your hose when you're doing a water change or something like that. But I haven't seen those to be helpful, and in fact, they've been quite detrimental. So let's get into some final housekeeping. Okay, that was an abrupt end. Just as final housekeeping, thank you for listening. I'm so glad and thankful that you listen on a weekly basis. It's hard work getting podcasts out to you, but we do it out of love and an energy to share our knowledge with you. Hopefully you are benefiting and finding this podcast valuable and Scape Foo valuable. So on behalf of my co-hosts who are not here, JJ and Yudis, we want to say thank you for listening and spending some time with us on a weekly basis. If you can, please download the Scape Foo app. If you haven't, there's an iOS version and an Android version, and it's very important for us that you do that because it helps us defray the cost of keeping this show going. So it's important for us. I'll put links in the show notes for you. It's great for you. You get the AskArt podcast as a thank you. It's an app-only podcast that I do 2 times a week where I answer your questions on the air. It's a short-form podcast. We deal with one question, you ask it, and I answer it. So that's a thank you for downloading. If you haven't done it, I would encourage you to go ahead and do it now. A reminder on the show notes, if you want to get more reading about black brush algae and links to the different things that we've mentioned on the podcast or more information on BBA, go to the show notes. It's scapefoo.com/47, or if you have the app, just hit the notes and you'll get them right there, and there'll be a link there straight to Scape Foo. Lastly, you can always contact me by email. My email is art@scapefoo.com. Very simple. Happy to hear from you, whatever you have in mind. Always appreciate feedback and suggestions. And if you want to email the three hosts, JJ, Yudis, and myself, send an email to feedback@scapefoo.com. All three of us get that email, and one of us will reply. And all three of us would be very thankful. So that concludes Scape Foo Podcast 47. Hopefully you've learned something. Hopefully I haven't bored you. It is tough being by myself, but hopefully I've kept it semi-entertaining. If not, let me know and I'll throw in a joke here and there. I don't know. Wear a costume. You won't see it though. Anyway. Thank you so much once again, and we'll be talking next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Scape Foo Podcast, where it's all about learning to make aquariums beautiful.